Good evening and welcome to Outbeat Music. I'm Michaela Kennan. Tonight, Surf's Up here on KRCB Radio. We're celebrating the peak of summer with some of your favorite surfer sounds from the past, but still very much alive today. It's all LGBT style, right here, right now. So grab your boardies, get amped up. Remember, Eddie would do it. Stay with me. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight's show is all about fun as we revisit the times and the tunes of the 1960s and those summertime sounds of surf music. Do you remember the Ventures? Remember the Safaris? Remember Pipeline? What was it on the Wipeout? Remember Wipeout? Yes. Yes. So we heard Johnny Del Mar and the Surf Monkeys, a local group actually opening up the festivities with Party Wave. Hopefully you had a chance to see them perform at the Pride Festival last month. Followed up by Susan and the Surf Tones with Blondes in Cars. Doesn't that bring back a memory or two? Speaking of Susan, she is our special guest this evening here on Outbeat Music. We will be talking with her live by phone in just a little while. For now, it's Mary Moore Campagna with me on the engineering boards, and we're going to go right to Greg Moralia with the Outbeat News.
Say, 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 tell it like it is.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, July 8th, 2012. A federal judge in Connecticut has denied a request from the House Republican-controlled Bipartisan Legal Advisory Group, otherwise known as BLAG, to halt proceedings in a challenge against the Defense of Marriage Act. Judge Vanessa Bryant of the U.S. District Court for the District of Connecticut issued her order Wednesday in the case of Peterson versus the Office of Personnel Management. BLAG filed a motion to stay last month, arguing that the case issues were under consideration in another case called Windsor versus the U.S., a case now on appeal in the 2nd District. Both cases challenge Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, which prohibits the federal government from recognizing same-sex marriages. Last month, the federal judge in New York ruled the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional in the Windsor case. Multiple DOMA cases appear to be headed for the Supreme Court, with both BLAG and the U.S. Department of Justice asking the High Court to consider challenges within the past week. Judge Bryant acknowledged the dynamic legal climate in her order, where she said that the public interest called for the Peterson case to proceed. She wrote, "Lastly, the court finds that public interest weighs against the entry of a stay in this matter, as the challenge to the constitutionality of Section 3 of DOMA presents an important issue to the nation as a whole, such that the Second Circuit and potentially the Supreme Court would benefit from as many opinions and analysis as possible to enrich their review." And from the world of news and entertainment, CNN anchor Anderson Cooper officially came out as a gay man this week, but the reaction was hardly noticeable. Here's CBS News in San Francisco.
Susan, I'm gay.
It was just 15 years ago when Ellen DeGeneres made the cover of Time magazine by uttering three simple words. Yep, I'm gay. It was a groundbreaking national news event and a big risk.
Ellen coming out for Ellen meant that she was going to possibly lose her career.
Ellen's announcement led to an evolution, not a revolution, in stars coming out. Some were forced, like musician George Michael, after his arrest for lewd behavior in 1998. Like actor Sean Hayes played a gay man on Will and Grace for 8 seasons, but didn't talk about his own homosexuality until after the show ended. Increasingly, coming out is losing its shock value.
"By the way, I'm gay," as opposed to "yup, I'm gay," is absolutely the kind of new way of coming out.
Anderson Cooper made his revelation in a matter-of-fact letter to blogger Andrew Sullivan. "The fact is, I'm gay," Cooper wrote. "Always have been, always will be, and I couldn't be any more happy, comfortable with myself, and proud." Cooper says he was always out to friends and co-workers, but not to the public, to avoid the perception of journalistic bias and to protect his safety reporting in parts of the world hostile to gays. For CBS This Morning, John Blackston, San Francisco.
Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, July 9th at 7 p.m., the Spanish-speaking Parent Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, July 10th through the 13th, from noon to 4 p.m., face-to-face, the Sonoma County AIDS Network offers free, confidential, and anonymous rapid HIV testing at their offices, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. No appointment is necessary. On Tuesday, July 10th at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will gather at the Positive Images Center in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday, from 6 to 8 p.m., Schoolgirls and Truants Give Back Tuesday will be held at the Rainbow Cattle Company in Guerneville. Enjoy cafeteria-style food, raffle prizes at this fundraiser for the Russian River Sisters, Nuns of the Above Scholarship Fund. And on Wednesday, July 11th at 5 p.m., the Youth Support Group will meet at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road, Suite 160 in San Rafael. And also on Wednesday at 6 p.m., the Redwood Rainbows Sonoma County's LGBT Square Dance Club will hold its beginner's class at Wishman Hall in Sebastopol. And on Saturday, July 14th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters present Candyland Bingo at Oddfellows Hall in Guerneville. This event will benefit the Russian River Dental Clinic. And on Sunday, July 15th, PFLAG's Napa Advocacy and Support Meeting will gather at the Covenant Presbyterian Church, 1226 Salvador Avenue in Napa. And finally, food for thought, the Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank has put out a call for artists to join them as a contributor for Calabash, a celebration of gourds, art, and the garden, a benefit event this October. For more information, go to their website at www.fftfoodbank.org. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Music with Michaela Kennan.
Okay, we're back here on Outbeat Music. Did you recognize those pieces? Yes, yes. Rider in the Sky and Theme from Peter Gunn. Both performed by our musical guest this evening, Susan Yasinski, a.k.a. Susan Surftone. She has been described as a real rarity in today's music industry. She is one of the few, if not the only woman in the U.S. playing lead guitar, composing new instrumental surf music, and still actively touring. She is a former law school graduate who went on to become a gun-toting FBI special agent, only to discover her real passion was for that of playing guitar, not enforcing the law. She is a purist as an instrumentalist, a well-respected master of the old-style pre-psychedelic sound of surf music. Her resume is impressive, her music impeccable. I'm real proud to introduce her to you. Susan, great to have you with us here on Outbeat Radio. Are you there? Susan, can you hear me? Okay, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty here. All right, well, let's stay tuned. Let's see if we can get her back on the line.
Want me to play another one?
Okay. Susan, are you there? Okay. All right, we can't seem to get you to come over the airwaves here, so hang tight just a moment. I'll tell you what, let's go to another tune, and we'll make sure then that we can just get right onto the air. Okay, so we're going to try this one more time. Susan, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. We've got you. I can hear you as well. So
good.
Excellent. Now I've got to find my notes. Hold on here a minute.
Okay.
That's the pleasure of live radio. One never quite knows minute to minute what's going to happen. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're talking surf music, and obviously, we know surf music when we hear it. We love it when we hear it. But from your perspective, give us an idea exactly what is surf music and why do you think it has such a broad appeal?
Well, surf music, it's instrumental music that conveys certain moods, mostly upbeat, without lyrics. I think that's part of the appeal, is that you're able to connect with the listener in ways that give the listener real input in how they're receiving and hearing the music. It means a lot of different things to different people. It's evolved a lot since it started. It started, I think, back in the late 50s and its roots with instrumentalists like Link Wray, The Ventures, and then Dick Dale took the ball and ran with it with Mitherloo. Some other fine bands like the Bel Airs were playing it in Southern California. And it certainly, at that time, evoked the beach and the sun and the surf and the whole thing, but it's grown over the years where a lot of the modern surf bands are putting different influences in and actually going in many different directions, and I think the base and the audience for the music is a little bit wider now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's many things to many people, actually.
Sure, sure. With a lot of nostalgia in there as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, let's talk about those early players. Who were your favorite artists or influences?
Well, The Ventures, by far, instrumentally. I started taking lessons back in 1964 when I was 9 years old, right after the Beatles had come over and been on Ed Sullivan. The Beatles and Elvis were my main influences at the time. My guitar teacher, after about a year of lessons, taught me Walk, Don't Run by the Ventures.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for me because I was able, I'm not a singer. I never wanted to go in that direction. And I have like a three-note range, and I sound a little bit like Johnny Cash. Not that there's anything wrong with Johnny Cash, but I don't like Johnny Cash.
Sure.
Anyway, so I wanted to develop my skills as a lead guitarist. And the Ventures music was melodic, and the guitar carried the day, and it just really was the thing that I wanted to do.
Absolutely. And Telstar was my absolute favorite.
Oh, that's a great song. I did that one on my second record, Thunder Beach.
Yeah. I just lots and lots of memories and soaring skies with that one. You have the distinction of being the first woman or girl, if you will, to break into this all-boys club genre of performers. At the time, it was way beyond kind of the prevailing norms and attitudes. Tell us more about that in your experience.
Well, it was music that I wanted to play, and I was lucky enough to have developed the skills to play it, and it didn't matter to me that I was a rarity, that I was one of the few women that had ventured forth. I think there's only a handful of us now, even, that had ventured forth to play lead guitar in a surf band. It's nothing that I even thought of. To me, it was just what I wanted to do. And a lot of the men, and I've noticed that the men in the better bands, the better players, were very welcoming to me. I have no complaints at all. I was received quite quickly and quite heartily by them. Some static and a little bit of, I would say, attitude from some of the male fans and some of the players that maybe their skills weren't as good as mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they weren't very happy to see a woman being able to do some things with a guitar that they couldn't. And, of course, every time I'd walk into a club for a gig, I'd have to hear somebody say, oh, a girl playing surf music, this I've got to see. You don't know how many times I've heard that.
Oh, my.
And, well, they would see it, you know.
Sure.
Usually by the third song, they'd shut up. So, you know, that's been the nature of the thing for me. I just get up there and I do it.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm a woman doing something in a field that's male-dominated, I have to do it well. And I can't say I feel pressure, but I just wish at some of the gigs I could relax a little bit like the boys do, you know, but I always feel that I have to deliver a certain level, you know, and that I am to some degree being scrutinized. So,
is that still,
you know,
does that still mm-hmm. happen today?
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
It'll always happen.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, well, what can you do?
Well, yeah.
Now it's just plain fun, you know.
Jeez. Well, so yeah. at the time you were in upstate New York, is that where you were born and grew up?
Yeah.
Okay. And just so we have a sense of the timeline, was this also the time that you were attending college and kind of doing the career?
Yeah, well, I started playing guitar when I was 9, and that was 64. And I kept playing through high school, but the problem was, again, it was the mid-late 60s, and the boys didn't want a girl in their band
mm-hmm.
to play and just lead guitar. You know, it was a different time then. And well, even now you don't see that many female lead guitar players. You see bass players, rhythm players, but not a lot of lead players. And I couldn't get in a band, so I practiced on my own. I learned a lot of Beatles songs. I my parents took me to see Jose Feliciano in a concert,
yes.
And I watched him play with a drummer and a bass player, and he played both rhythm and lead at the same time, so I went home, and all summer I practiced till I could do it too. So now I always laugh at the guys and say, you created the monster by not letting me join your band. You know, I had to learn how to really play on my own.
Sure.
And then I went to a college and law school, and it was after I had started with the FBI that I really had to stop and think about where I was going with my life. And when John Lennon was murdered, it made me think about his dedication to music and how he had actually given his life. And that's when I decided that I had to pursue music. So right about that time, I would say late 1980, I set on the course to really make it my life.
Sure. Now, were you aware of yourself or out, openly out?
I've always, well, when I worked for the FBI, it was a little difficult to be openly out, but I was. I never concealed the fact that I was gay. I mean, I never broadcast it or advertised it, but, you know, I would say that people who knew me, people who had, you know, any powers of observation certainly would have figured it out.
Sure.
So, you know, I've never deceived anyone. You know? I mean, I am who I am, so,
sure.
You know.
Right. Yeah. So is it correct then to say that kind of your break seemed to be when you got to play at the CBGB Bowery Music Club in Manhattan?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I started with non-surf bands in New York City. We were pretty much at the tail end of New Wave and punk. And I had a band called Black Tights. We had taken the name from Edie Sedgwick. She appeared in the Life magazine article called The Girl with Black Tights. And our singer bore quite a resemblance to Edie and had a voice like Cyndi Lauper. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know. And we ended up playing, you know, the clubs in New York City. And, CBGB's was on the list. And I felt like I had arrived. I was doing what I wanted to do in my life. And it was, I didn't know where it was going to go, but it was certainly something that I wanted to do.
Sure. And we should say that CBGB stands for Country, Bluegrass, Blues, and Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers.
Mm-hmm.
How's
yep.
that?
As
in gourmand, meaning a ravenous eater of food usually, but the intention being a voracious eater of music.
Yeah, it was quite a place. It was great.
Yeah, and I can see where that could be a real turning point in your career.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It sure was.
So ultimately, you move west and end up closer to the beach,
mm-hmm.
Portland, Oregon, correct?
Right, yes.
Now, are you based in Portland or here in California?
Yeah. No, we're based in Portland.
Okay.
We come down, the last time we came down to California was March. We're coming back down the end of September
mm-hmm.
and doing a gig. We'll be at Forbidden Island in Alameda outside of San Francisco, and then we're going to do two in L.A., one at the Redwood. Downtown L.A., and then one with the L.A. Derby Dolls, which we're really looking forward to.
Oh, how fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Portland, so we're talking about, what is it, like 1993, correct? Or 94?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhere in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? I was there at the same time. I went to school at PSU.
Oh, really?
And I was in Portland right there. Who knows? We probably passed each other on the street or something.
We might have, yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty neat.
Well, yeah, well, Portland's got quite a thriving surf scene going on now. There's a lot of bands playing instrumental surf music. So many, in fact, that we, five of us bands got together and we put a comp together, a compilation CD,
mm-hmm.
called PDX with Go-Go.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, being released like right now. In fact, I got the CDs from the manufacturer on Thursday, and I'm looking at a pile of them right here in my living room. And it's it really is like a testimony to what's happening here in Portland right now with mm-hmm. surf music. There's a lot of bands playing a lot of good music, a lot of different directions, and a lot of innovations. We've got some great bands like a band called Wave Sauce with a female theremin player.
Wow.
And band called the Outer Space Heaters, some bunch of guys that are playing some really innovative progressive surf music. Let's see, there's Shade 13 from Bend, Oregon. They're doing their take on it. And a bunch of my buddies called the Surf Weevils,
mm-hmm.
who are doing a more traditional spin. And a lot of fun things going on. I've got one track on it called Rock Candy, which is the audio from a video that I recently did with our new dancer, Shauna Steele. We've added a dancer to our lineup.
Cool.
A girl that puts a totally elegant spin on go-go dancing.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. She really does a great job. In fact, she did her first gig with us last night here in Portland.
Yeah, you played at, was it Slim's?
Slim's, uh-huh. yeah, a good time. Little neighborhood bar over in St. John's. We had a great
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And played with a rockabilly band called the Blastocasters. They're another BDX band that we'll be doing a lot of gigs with this summer that put an interesting take on surf and rockabilly. They do a little bit of both. And we've got got our song Rock Candy from that video. And Rock Candy happens to be the model of Davey guitar that I play. I recently picked up an endorsement from Davey.
Good.
And their whole theory, you know, the model is to get girls, get guitars in girls' hands. So I did a little ode to my Rock Candy guitar. And then I've got another song called Saltwater on it, which is actually a demo of one of the songs that'll be on my new record, which I'll be recording in February of 2013. So it's a little preview.
Mm-hmm.
It will be on that record.
Do you record right there in Portland as well?
Yeah, I record at Jackpot Studios, a fine world-class studio here in Portland. And I have a producer, Steve Kravac, who comes up from L.A. and works with me.
Cool.
So
good.
Locker fills in for about a week. That's all we do until we get a record.
Well, and then we get the benefit of that, so.
I hope so. That's our goal.
It's a good thing it rains a lot up there, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I record in February. It'll be raining. It'll be cold.
Well, everything I've read about you and your history really lauds you as a guitarist. Tell us about the Surf Tones, the other members of your band.
Okay, we have Avery Gray on keyboard. Avery is an old friend from Smith College. Met her about 25 years ago, and she's my current roommate.
Mm-hmm.
We're friends. We've been friends for 25 years. And she plays a gem organ, an old analog vintage organ that gives it that real garagey, surfy sound from the 60s. And we have Dan Ferguson on bass. He was playing with me back in around 2003 to 2005, and then I put the band on hiatus for a while I got myself so confident on bass guitar for the records.
Mm-hmm.
And confident on keyboards, because I do everything except drums. Steve Kravac does. He happens to be a great drummer, so he plays the drums on the records. But Dan's back with us now live, and he's a bass player on Rock Candy, and I probably use him on some studio work too. He's a good friend, been friend for years now. And we just had the addition of Paul Burrell on drums. We played our first gig with him last night. He's been playing in a number of surf bands in Portland. He's the drummer for the Surf Weasels, and he's the drummer for the Blastocasters.
Wow.
And we're real happy to have him on drums. He's a fine surf drummer with a lot of experience and a good guy. And Shauna Steele is our dancer, and she's considered our fifth band member. She'll be at all our gigs with us. She'll be doing the L.A. tour. And she's 28 years old, been in Portland for about a year, working very hard and successfully on a modeling career,
mm-hmm.
and an acting career. She's in a play right now that she'll be doing in the fall. So she's got a busy time right now.
Good.
Some great work. Her and I will be shooting the album cover for the upcoming album in a couple of weeks together. She'll be on the cover with me. So she's a real asset. I'm telling you now, people come to our gigs and they have a very, very beautiful woman to look at. So.
That can't be too bad, can it?
It can't be too bad. No.
No. What inspires you toward the creation of a new piece? Is it a melody line that gets stuck in your head, or the feel of a place or a mood?
It's pretty much picking up either the guitar or the bass and just actually noodling around with it,
mm-hmm.
until I get a riff, you know, and or a hook that doesn't sound like anything that I've heard before, or doesn't sound too close to anything I've heard before. And then the usual drill is I'll yell for Avery to come in and listen to it and say, does it sound like anything?
Uh-huh.
And then sound like anything? And then if she says no, then I usually play it a little bit and put the guitar or the bass down for a day or two, and then pick it up again. And if I can play that same hook or riff again, and I still like it, and it still sounds good to me, then I usually start to build the song from that. So it's usually either mostly bass. I've written a lot of the new stuff on my record. Sure, a lot of that started out as bass lines,
mm-hmm.
or rhythm guitar parts, and then I'll work from there. Avery and I have a small home recording studio here that I'll do demos with. I'll just start building the song piece by piece. And then once we get a viable demo, of course it doesn't have drums on it, then I send it down to Steve, send him an MP3 down in L.A., and he'll listen to it and eventually give me a critique and some ideas, and I might do a rewrite, or usually we'll re-demo the song. And then we take those demos into the studio and work from there. So it usually starts out from, like, just a small little piece, just a small hook, you know, that thing that kind of sticks in your head. If it sticks in my head for a couple of days, then I know I think I have something.
Sure. Yeah. I noticed on your website that your music is available on LP vinyl.
Mm-hmm. We did the last record, Shore, on vinyl as well as CD. So that was something new. A lot of fans, a lot of people do like vinyl. You know, to tell you the truth, I never really bought the thing that, you know, vinyl was better than digital recording.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. When I played the CD, then I played the vinyl at home, and I have to say that the vinyl was closer to what I heard in the studio.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah,
yeah,
I've been in your camp as well, but I know a lot of purists who swear by vinyl, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we did vinyl on that one. I don't know, we're planning a digipack for the next release. I've never done Digipack before, so we're going to do that this time. And then, of course, we'll have the download cards available.
Yeah, I think that's great. Has the vinyl been well-received, or is
it
too early?
Yeah, it has. No, it has. It's a little early, but it has been well-received. There's a few reviewers that prefer to get vinyl, actually, and they liked a lot.
Sure. What's the greatest moment of rush for you when you're behind the guitar? Is it when you're under the lights and you're hearing the whole room filled with your sound, or what really is that rush point for you?
The greatest rush point is when I'm done playing and somebody who remembers music from the 60s comes up to me and says, "I haven't heard it played like that in a long time."
Cool.
That's when I know I did my job.
Good. Good, yeah, and you got right to the soul, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, let's find out where we can tap into your schedule. You've got a website, which is?
It's www.susansurftone, all one word, .com.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And everything is on there.
Your website actually contains a lot of information. It's a great website, lots of, you know, the videos, you've got clips, you've got the printed interviews. It's very, very informative, so excellent.
Yeah, anybody who goes to that website, I think they'll get a good idea of what we're doing and where we'll be. And there's also some streaming audio, so you can hear a good bit of Shore. So.
Are you on Facebook as well?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so there you go. Become
a
fan. And on Twitter. Good. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to everything that's going to be coming up in the future. You have a great sound. As I told you in my email, I've been singing surf music all week, and it's been real, real just uplifting and a lot of great fun. So I wish you continued success. Keep on keeping on. You're a great inspiration, and you're doing fantastic work and making some really important inroads as well. So.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
I hope you can catch a gig someday. I'd love to meet you.
Well, come on down. We're right in Sonoma County, so we'd love to have you here. So.
Okay, great.
Great. We'll stay in touch, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Susan.
Thank you.
And welcome back. You've been listening to Susan Surftone, our interview from live from right there in Portland. She's a fantastic guitarist, great, great musician. And again, I encourage you to go to her website. It's Susan Surftone, SURFTONE.com. Let's hear just a couple more surf sounds. We want to pick up a few by Johnny Del Mar and the Surf Monkeys. He was with us at the Sonoma County Pride Festival last month. Let's go with Unknown and Riptide.
We'll be right back.
and Johnny Del Mar and the Surf Monkeys taking us into the final moments of tonight's show with Unknown and Riptide. I do want to invite you to be with us next week on Outbeat Collage. Sunbell will be my co-host for the evening. She's sitting in for Gary Carnevale. We'll be talking to two local authors, Kenna Lee and Carol McConkie, both about their latest publications. Next month on Outbeat Music, I continue the Hot Sounds of Summer series with more beach and party music just for you by all LGBT artists. Do make Outbeat Radio a part of your listening pleasure every Sunday evening here on KRCB Radio, 8 p.m. Once again, my thanks to Mary Moore Campagna for engineering this evening, to you, our Outbeat listeners, for being an ever faithful and supportive audience. I'm Michaela Kennan. As always, I remind you to be real, be remarkable, always keep a song in your heart. I bid you a great week.